Happy Easter, everybody. Let me add my happy Easter to all those that you've already heard today. So happy Easter. We're glad that you're here. On behalf of my wife, Kathy, and me, and our four sons, and my daughter-in-law, we want to wish you all a happy Easter. Your families, we're so grateful that you're here. For those of you that come on a regular basis, it's so great to have on Easter, our whole church family comes on one Sunday, and it's awesome. And so we're glad to have all of you here. And for those of you that are guests, chances are we invited you or somebody invited you. We're very, very honored that you would find yourself here at Fairhaven Church. We believe that Easter is the best weekend to come to because it's Easter weekend that helps us to and reminds us of why we come the other 51 weeks of the year. And so you came on a great weekend for us and for the church, capital C. And so thank you for being here at Fairhaven Church. Here's what we say. Easter is the day that we find hope. And so we only want you to do one thing today, and hopefully you've already kind of captured that, is that we want you to find hope in your life. Because that's what Easter is all about, is being able to find hope in this story that we're going to be taking a look at today. As a matter of fact, what's interesting is that at the heart of our faith, at the center of our faith, so if you are not a church-going person because it's just not part of your routine or you don't normally come or you come infrequently, it doesn't matter. We're glad you're here today. What you might want to know about Fairhaven, about us here at Fairhaven, is that at the very center of our faith, at the heart of what we believe, is 3 days. At the heart of what we believe and the point at which we find our hope, it all centers around these 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we've tried to celebrate these 3 days in a big, big way. That's why we pull all the stops and do everything we can to celebrate it, because everything hinges on these 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday, we had several Good Friday services. Thursday night, actually, we had a great service. If you've never come to that, I want to invite you next year. It's probably the best service we do, actually, in a year. It's so impactful and powerful as we celebrate Jesus' death. And then Saturday, we don't do anything. We do nothing on Saturday, usually, except Easter, then we have two services, but we do nothing on Saturday, and I'll tell you why in just a little bit, because it's part of the story of Easter. And then Easter Sunday, it's huge, it's really, really huge, because it is the center place of our faith. But I got a question that I want to ask you, and then I want to try to answer it for you today, because in answering this question, we begin to see that God had something really amazing planned. And the question is this: why 3 days? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, why 3 days? Why didn't Jesus die on Friday and later on that day come back to life and walk off the cross? I mean, that would have been pretty dramatic, don't you think? I mean, if he would have walked back into Jerusalem on Friday, you know, that would have been amazing. People would be like, wow. And or some people would be like, nah, he probably didn't die. So maybe, you know, maybe in one day, that's the reason why. Why 3 days, though? Why not 2 days? Why not he dies Friday and then Saturday, like, you know, he comes back to life, the tomb is open, and he walks out of it. Why not Saturday? Why not 2 weeks, right? I mean, let's make sure that he's really in the grave. There's a reason, it turns out, that when you study the Bible, and we've already offered that if you don't have one, we'd be glad to give you one as a gift, but it turns out that there's a reason why it's 3 days. And in fact, because of this reason, you and I can find our own stories in the Easter story. It turns out that the third day was frequently used throughout the entire Bible. If you study the Bible, the third day was frequently used as an expression, watch this, of a day to find hope. Let me give you some examples, just so you can kind of get your mind thinking around this. This is absolutely amazing when you start studying this. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't realize this. I mean, as I was studying for this, you know, months and months ago, as we were planning and as I was praying about this weekend for us as a church, I began to think about the Easter story and look at the Easter story, and we know that on the third day, Jesus walked away from the grave. But why 3 days? Here's why, because it's all through the Bible. It's all through the Bible. Let me show you, give you a couple of examples. Abraham, you may have heard of this guy named Abraham. In Genesis chapter 22, Abraham, God told him to sacrifice his one and only son, Isaac. But if you go and look in Genesis chapter 22, Here's the story. Essentially, they begin on this journey because Abraham wants to be obedient to God. They begin this journey. It took them 3 days to get up to the top of the mountain. And the Bible tells us that on the third day, he provided a sacrifice so that Abraham didn't have to sacrifice his one and only son. That's pretty amazing, don't you think? That's not by accident, because you can look in Genesis 40 and you can see Joseph's interpretation of a dream. He's in prison. There's a guy in prison with him. So his cellmate has a dream and tells Joseph, hey, I had this dream. And Joseph interprets the dream and he says this, you lost your job, you were thrown in jail. 3 days from now, on the third day, you're going to get your job back. That's exactly what happens. He gets his job back. He was the cupbearer of the king. Later on in Genesis, Joseph gets out of jail, actually, and becomes the second most powerful man on the planet at that time. And so his brothers, 10 of them to be exact, come and visit him because they need supplies and they're running out of food and so forth. And so they visit Joseph. They don't even recognize him. And Joseph is hurt by that. And so he takes his brothers and he puts them in jail, not because he's trying to get revenge, but because he wants to build a relationship with them. He wants to hear the stories that maybe they're saying and maybe hear some things about his father who he hadn't seen in years and years and years. And it turns out that after 3 days, the Bible tells us, on the third day, he let his brothers out of jail and they went home. And we can see that story. In Exodus chapter 19, right before God gives the Ten Commandments. Come on, help me out here. How many of you have ever heard of the Ten Commandments? Let me just see your hands, raise them up high. In all of our campuses, that's most of us, right? I mean, you don't even have to be a church-going person, and you probably have heard of the Ten Commandments. God gave these commandments to help us to run our lives so it makes more sense. And before he gives the Ten Commandments, he says to Moses, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get the people, and I want you to gather them together, and I want you to have a worship service. The actual word they use is, I want you to consecrate yourself. That's a fancy word to say, I want you to worship, and I want you to, you know, confess, and I want you to recognize that I'm God. I want you to do this for 3 days, and then it says, on the third day, I'm going to show up. And you know what happens? On the third day, God shows up in a big way. And tells Moses, here's the Ten Commandments, here's how life is going to be, you know, for you and so forth. It's an absolutely amazing story. In Joshua chapter 2 in the Old Testament, you can read about a prostitute, actually. Her name is Rahab. Rahab hid some spies, and she hid them for 3 days, and on the third day, she sends them home, and they were safe. You could read about the Israelites when they were getting ready to cross over the Jordan River into the Promised Land, because God promised them some land. You've probably heard this story, right? Where God has promised them this promised land, and they have to cross this river. And it's a pretty big river at that time. So they have to cross that to get over to the Promised Land. And they choked. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, where God's asked you to do something and you choke, right? You just don't do it. And they choked. And so God is so gracious. This is what he does. He says, all right, don't worry. I promised you this land. It's yours. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about where you came from. I want you to think about the misery of all that. I want you to know that this new promised land is going to be amazing. And so on the third day, 3 days from now, I want you to cross this river. And they do on the third day. It's pretty amazing. I mean, you've probably heard of Jonah and the fish or Jonah and the whale. Anybody want to take a guess how long Jonah was inside the belly of a whale? Anybody want to take a guess? Yeah, that's amazing that you know that. How did you know that? I mean, it's all through the Bible. It's amazing. And this is just a sampling. I could show you many other examples because what we find in the Bible is that the third day was frequently used as a way, an expression of way we can find hope. That's why, watch this, that's why Easter is the ultimate three-day story. That's why we celebrate so much. That's why we encourage you to come and hear a story. That's why we ask you to come and find hope in some way in your life because of this three-day story. And so what I want to do with you is I want to go through these 3 days quickly. And as we go through these 3 days, I want you to see that the 3 days are really the 3 days of your life and my life. Our life is really a three-day story. And it's amazing that we can find ourselves in the Easter story. So I don't know if you brought a device with you of some kind or maybe a Bible. If you want, you can follow along in Matthew chapter 27. I'm actually going to put the verses on screen here for you, which I don't normally do, but I'm going to do that today just to make it easier because there's a lot of us and we've got Springboro and Northmont and Classics that are along with us. And so happy Easter to you guys there. So I'm going to just help you out. But if you want to, you can follow along because I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read portions of it. So it starts with day one, Friday. Friday is day one, right? Here we go. Friday, day one. This is what happens. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium, which is just a fancy word of saying palace. I've actually been there in Israel. Pretty cool. They took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. A whole company. They were worried because they had seen all the things that Jesus had done, and they thought, I don't know if we could do a one-on-one here. I mean, so we got to get a whole bunch of people. And so they got a whole bunch of soldiers around him, and then they stripped him. That's pretty violating. They stripped him, and then they put a scarlet robe on him, and then they twisted together a crown of thorns, and they set it on his head. And it's right here that I have to wonder in the translation, because, you know, this was originally written in the Greek. And as we translated it, if they translated it to be a little bit PG-13, see, I have a feeling they took that crown of thorns and they jammed it on his head. They just put it on his head, like, you know, in complete mockery of who Jesus was. But then they put a staff in his right hand and they knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews, they said, and they spit on him. Doubtful that any one of us here has had anybody spit on us. I mean, how violating is that? And they took the staff, and then they struck him on the head again and again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe, and they put his clothes on. In other words, they stripped him, put on this robe, and then mocked him, and then they took off the robe and put his own clothes back on after they had whipped him and beat him and all kinds of things, and they led him away to crucify him. Friday is the day of crucifixion. Friday is the day that Jesus died. That's an important day. See, Friday represents the day of pain. And there was a lot of pain. There was physical pain for sure. I mean, when you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you read about the pain that Jesus went through physically. That he was whipped and beaten and spit on, and he had to carry a cross. And if you've ever seen any of the movies, I'm not sure if the movies even do it justice. I mean, it's amazing what he went through physically. I mean, it was brutal. It was brutally physically painful for him, but it was also emotionally painful for him. Some of his best friends, the disciples, some of them just walked away. He was betrayed. He was rejected. He was blamed for things that weren't really true. He was emotionally in lots and lots of pain. Relationally, he was in pain. I mean, it's amazing if you read his story in the Gospels that even in his hometown, they drove him out. When he came home to his hometown before his whole three-year ministry started, he was driven out of town. I mean, there were some crazy people in the town that he grew up in, and they called Jesus crazy, and he had crazy relatives all around him there, and I think many of us can relate to that, right? I mean, how many of you by raised hand know somebody who's just crazy, right? Help me out here. Raise them up high. You know a crazy person, right? How many of you have them sitting pretty nearby right now? I mean, just... See, if you didn't raise your hand, I got bad news for you. You might be the crazy one. I mean, there were crazy people around. They drove him right out of town. I mean, it's amazing, right? So he went through all kinds of relational pain. I mean, Peter, one of his best friends, said three times, I don't know who you're talking about. I never met the guy. I've never seen him. There was all kinds of relational pain. And then there's one other pain. These three we probably can get our heads around, but there's one more pain that it's really hard to put into words. I'm going to try my best here, but this is really hard because if you get your head around this, it's also an amazing kind of pain that I don't think we talk about a lot, and that's this. There was spiritual pain that Jesus endured. That's why on the cross he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? I mean, Jesus felt far from God the Father, God the Son, in that moment, felt distant from God the Father. That's amazing. He went through that kind of pain. You know, my guess is that as I look out to an audience this size and as I look into Springboro and Northmont and Classics, and you guys look great. I mean, it's Easter. You look great. I mean, we've got our Easter clothes on and we've got our plans. Some of you have had, you know, dinners or brunches you're going to go to, or maybe tonight or maybe last night. And you know, Easter's a special time. We have, you know, pictures, family pictures. We have our smiles on. But here's what I know. There's at least somebody, maybe more than one person, maybe many of us that are living in the Friday of life, where we're experiencing some physical pain. You know what I know about physical pain? It messes with your head, right? I mean, I've got this knee here, and there are two doctors in this church that are friends of mine, and they've been helping me with my knee, one in particular recently, and one that has looked at it, you know, a while ago, and both of them are telling me that I'm gonna probably have to have a knee replacement. I mean, it's in so much pain because I got bone on bone right here on the inside of my left knee. Probably because I played too much soccer, the greatest sport, by the way. And so, you know, I've got all this pain in my leg, and it messes with your head. And you know what I'm talking about. If you're dealing with physical pain of some kind, it messes with your head. It messes with your soul, even. It's incredible how that happens. Some of us are dealing with emotional pain. Some of us are dealing with relational pain. Some of us are dealing with spiritual pain. You feel far from God. And you may be an attender, regular attender, and you still could feel far from God. This may be the Sunday of the year that you've come to and you feel far from God. Do you know that the Easter story is for you? Because some of us are living in the Friday of life, the day of pain. Here's what Paul says in Romans chapter 8. We know that God is always, I love that, is always, not sometimes, is always at work for the good of everyone who loves him. Here's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that God loves you. Here's what Paul is not saying. Paul is not saying that when you have pain in your life, it's good. No, what Paul is saying is that if you take the pain in your life, if you recognize that you're living in the Friday of your life, that God can take your pain and he can flip it. God can take your pain and he can work out some purpose that might change your life, that might help you to do something differently. He can take the pain in your life and he can make some good out of it. It seems exclusive though, because it says for everyone who loves him. So I guess if you don't love him, you're out of luck. That's not what Paul is saying. Here's what Paul is saying. He's saying that God loves you so much that if you are living in the Friday of life and you're experiencing some pain in your life, if you want, you can choose to love God back. And when you love God back, you know what he does? He takes the pain in your life and he can flip it and he can help you and he can somehow, supernaturally, he can make some good out of it. Let me put it this way. There is no pain that his hope cannot ease. There is no pain that hope cannot ease. That's why Easter is about hope. That's why we want you to find hope this Easter weekend, because that's the reality of Friday. There's a second day, though, and it's Saturday. So day two is Saturday. So if you want, you can follow along. Matthew chapter 22, it says this, "The next day, Pilate ordered, 'Go make the tomb as secure as you know how.'" If you read, again, in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you were looking for what happened on Saturday, let me tell you what happened on Saturday. Nothing. The soldiers went to the tomb and just made sure that nobody took the body out. That's it. You can't read much about it. There's not much written about it. I mean, it's Saturday. Saturday is what I would call the day of silence. The day of silence. There was a lot of confusion going on. I got to tell you, the disciples weren't sitting around going, "One more day. We got one more day. Let's hang in there. We got one more day. And then Easter's coming. One more day. Sunday's coming." That's not what happened. They were all confused. They were like, wait, hold on. a Messiah doesn't die, right? They were very confused. Watch the progression here, okay? There's an amazing progression. They went from confusion to there were many questions. They had all kinds of questions. Like, what happened here? I mean, I thought for sure he was the Son of God. I mean, what happened here? This whole thing fell apart. I mean, there were all kinds of questions that came up in their lives. There were doubts that took place in their lives. There's one guy who is eternally known for his doubt, and he was one of Jesus' closest friends. Let me see if you know him. His name is Doubting what, church? Thomas. I mean, forever he'll be known as the man who doubted. How would you like that title in your life, right? I mean, forever, he's known because there was confusion that led to questions, and questions lead to doubt. And you know what happened then? There were people who were giving up. There was one guy close to Jesus who committed suicide because he knew he'd given Jesus up. One guy, Peter, not only denied him and said, I don't know who you're talking about, Peter walked away on Saturday. Peter thought, okay, this whole gig is... it's up. I got to go back to my career. And he goes back to fishing. Peter goes back at it. He thinks, this thing's over. I mean, that's it. Game over. And then the worst thing happens, and that's this. There was agony and all kinds of loneliness. You know what's interesting? Is that many of us find ourselves in the Saturday of life, where there seems to be all kinds of silence. I mean, there's confusion going on in your life. There's all kinds of questions that you want answers to. I mean, isn't life really nothing but just a big question, right? I mean, there's all kinds of questions in life. As you go through life, whether you're single or married or you're a high school kid or you're students or, you know, it doesn't matter. There's all kinds of questions. I mean, we have questions about everything. I had this weird thought the other day while I was traveling. I was in Atlanta 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, I think it is. And I was in Atlanta airport and I was in the train. And many of you probably have been to Atlanta airport, right? Many of you probably go there. And so I was in the train and I'm riding in the train and I get to a stop. And on the speaker, the guy said on the speaker, this is Terminal B. I got off because my flight was leaving on that terminal. And as I was on the escalator going up, I had this weird thought that turned into a question. I thought to myself, if flying is so safe, why do they call the airport the terminal? I have these weird thoughts every once in a while, you know? I was having a meeting with a good buddy of mine, and he's a financial advisor, and I love him, and he's just the smartest guy I know. And after the meeting, I got my car and had this really weird thought. I thought, you know, why do we trust financial advisors with our money, but then we call them brokers? I mean, life is filled with questions. There's all kinds of questions. And then the questions get deeper, right? Because the number one question that I hear from people all the time is, why? It's a question my wife and I asked 19 and a half years ago. When we landed in Dayton 19 and a half years ago, our son went from being totally normal to contracting a virus or a disease we don't know yet, still don't know, that changed his life forever and changed the life of our family forever. And if you've attended Fairhaven for any length of time, you know the story. There's a part of the story that you don't know. I'll tell you that in a second. And we were confused. There were lots of questions. We were like, why? I mean, why? There was all kinds of things. Doubt began to creep into our own lives. And being transparent with you, it was really hard. It was really hard. And we went through the progression of this right here in our own lives. We almost gave up. If you've been in Fairhaven for any length of time, you've probably heard the story. Here's what you don't know. What you don't know is that 19 and a half years ago, my wife and I almost quit. We thought, you know what? Maybe we made the wrong decision. Maybe we should just go back to where we came from. Maybe this whole thing isn't, you know, maybe I should just need to get a different kind of a career. Maybe I'm not cut out for this. We almost quit 19 and a half years ago. What changed us was that we began to lean in. We thought, you know what? Let's lean into worship. And so not only on weekends, as many of you who come regularly, we lean into worship, but we not only listen to worship on Sunday, we listen to it throughout the week. We just thought we gotta soak ourselves in this, you know, who God is in our lives. And we decided that we needed to spend more time in Scripture before we made some big decision in our life. We needed to spend more time, and so we spent lots of time together and apart. We spent lots of time in Psalms 1 through 42. And if you're going through the Friday or Saturday of your life, you're going to find a good friend in the author of Psalms 1 through 42. And we read them and read them and read them. And we leaned into relationships to many of you that I see here today, because you're friends of ours. We leaned into that relationship. And you know what we discover? We discovered that quitting was not the right thing to do. In fact, here's what we discovered: that hope is what saves us. And hope saved us. And I got to tell you, 19 and a half years later, we're great. We still got lots of questions. But you know what? On this side of eternity, we're not going to get any answers, and we're okay with that. We figured out that we can find hope in our day of silence, in our day of confusion. And so hope is what saves us. But if we already have what we hope for, then there's no need to keep on hoping. However, we hope for something we have not yet seen, and we wait patiently for it. That's really hard right there, right? I mean, this is kind of hard to understand, so let me simplify it. There is no silence that his hope cannot break through. And in our own personal lives, being transparent with you, hope broke through. We were free. That's powerful. And that can be the same thing for you, because some of you are living in the Fridays of life, some of you are living in the Saturdays of life, but Sunday's coming. Because hope is not wishing for something. Listen carefully, hope is having absolute confidence that God has a better future for you. It may not be on this side of eternity, but certainly it will be on the other side. And God is such a good God that sometimes on this side of eternity, he makes good. It's amazing. That's what hope is, a complete certainty that God will give us a better future. That's what hope is. And we got to get to Sunday, because Sunday is the day, right? Day 3, Sunday, and if you want to follow along, it's in Matthew chapter 28, as we flip over a chapter. Day 3, Sunday. Here's what happens on day 3. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, and here's why. Because an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone, and then sat on it. Wow. His appearance, the angel's, was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and become like dead men. Do you know it's possible physically that you can become so afraid in a moment that you can pass out? That's possible. That's what happened here. They passed out. So the angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he is not here." You ready, church? I need your help here. Here's the crescendo. Here's where Sunday comes. Here's why we celebrate in such a big way. He is not here. Say it with me, church. He has risen. Now, I want you to say it again, like you might find yourself in the Friday of life, or you might find yourself in the Saturday of life, because he is risen. You see, messiahs don't die, but the messiahs that do die and come back to life, now that's a savior right there, right? And so Jesus did die. He was put in the tomb, and 3 days later, the third day, he was raised from the dead. So I want you to say it with me again. Here it is. What is it? He has risen, just as he said. Just as he said, "Come and see the place where he lay," the angel said. And so then they quickly went and told the disciples, "He has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." The angel said, "If you go to Galilee, you're going to see him. We have eyewitnesses to the fact that Jesus is alive." There are eyewitnesses. So what did the women do? The women hurried off. And they hurried away from the tomb, and they were afraid, yet filled with much joy. And they ran to tell the disciples, and suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. That seems a little anticlimactic. It's as if Jesus ran into these women and said, "Hi." In other words, you should have known. In other words, I told you so. In other words, you should have expected this. In other words, this is what it's all about. Sunday. Then they came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers. Go and tell the world. Go and tell Fairhaven Church. Go and tell all your neighbors. Go and tell all your friends, your family. Go and tell the brothers and go to Galilee, and there you will see me." See, Sunday is the day of deliverance. Sunday is the day of resurrection. Sunday is the reason you can have a Friday or a Saturday and still have hope. Sunday is the reason that whatever's going on in your life, you can experience the hope that we're talking about today. See, Sunday is a day of hope. Sunday is the day of life. Sunday is the day that proved that Jesus is God. It's no wonder that the prophet Hosea, it's no wonder that he wrote this, "Come, let us return to the Lord." You might be in a Friday of your life or a Saturday of your life. Easter is a perfect time, and I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that, to return to God. And just say, maybe you've drifted, maybe you've walked away, maybe life has happened, but you can return to God. This is what the prophet in the Old Testament says. After 2 days, he will revive us. Things begin to change. But on the, what? Third day, it's all through the Bible. On the third day, he will restore us that we may live in his presence. That's what Hosea says. Let me put it in my own words. There is no death that his power cannot resurrect. I don't know what death you might be experiencing in your life. Maybe some relational problem. Maybe something that's happening in your life. Maybe something with one of your kids. Maybe your marriage. Maybe your singleness. Maybe something that's going on in your career. It doesn't matter, because the Jesus of Sunday is found in your Fridays and Saturdays. So if you're living in the Friday of life or the Saturday of life, Jesus is found in that day, because it was a three-day story. Jesus can be found on the Fridays and Saturdays. And so, whatever is going on in your life, you need to know that we are third-day people. That's why we celebrate so much. That's why we ask you all to come on one weekend together. That's why the parking is so difficult, because we all come together on one weekend and we decide that we're going to celebrate this, because we are third day people. And you know what? Here's the good news. You can too. If you've not made that decision in your life, you can too. So whatever's going on in your life, whatever the pain that you're experiencing, whatever the questions that are mounting in your life, whatever the obstacles that you have that you can't seem to get over, whatever the confusion you might be going through, whatever the problem that you might have, whatever pain that you are enduring in your life, church, don't you give up. Don't you give in. Don't you give out. Don't you run away. Don't you miss this. Because, see, our hope is not found in our jobs. Our hope is not found in our careers. Our hope is not found in the person next to us. Our hope is not found in our portfolio. Our hope is not found in the government. Our hope is not found even in this world. Our hope is found only in Jesus, because Jesus is what Easter is all about, a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and that is good news. And I want to give you an opportunity to find hope. So if you wouldn't mind, let's all play along here. Would you just take out this bulletin that we gave you? And I'm going to give you an opportunity to make a decision. Now, if you're a guest here, we've already asked you to fill part of this out anyway. So to make sure that this isn't awkward or weird for anybody, would you just do me a favor? Let's all tear this at the same time, right? It's a kind of a cool sound anyway. So here we go. Let's tear it off all at the same time. And I'm going to ask you, as you leave here today, I'm going to ask every single one of you to turn this card in, even if it's empty. It doesn't matter. And here's the reason why. Because we don't want to single anybody out. At the same time, we don't want anybody to miss this. I don't know what's going on in your life, but there's no better weekend than Easter to find hope. And hope is absolutely being confident that God has a better future for you. We've given you two options. There's probably many, but we've given you two. On the far right-hand side of this card, it says find hope at the top. There's one option. I want to find hope through a relationship with Jesus. And maybe you know about Jesus. Maybe you've heard a lot about Jesus, but maybe you haven't ever really surrendered to Jesus. I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that. It's pretty simple. God loves you. He did all the work. He died on Friday. Watch this. He descended into hell on Saturday. And he walked away from the tomb on Sunday. And he did all that for you. All you have to do is love him back. It's amazing. There's nothing you can do for it. In fact, we struggle with that because we don't want something for free. We actually want to work for it. We feel better, but yet you see, in God's scheme, in God's mathematics, in his multiplication, that's not possible. You can't do enough. And so he had to do it all for you, and it's offered to you. You can find hope through Jesus Christ. And if you want to make that decision, I'm just going to encourage you, while we bow our heads in just a second here, you could pray a prayer silently, because I'm going to pray it, and you can just follow along. I'm going to challenge you to check that box. Here's why. Because we want to just connect with you and make sure that you have more answers to some questions that you might have. Let me just be honest. We don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. I got questions too. But we've got enough answers that we can figure our way out, that Sunday is the day of hope, and we can grab a hold of that. Maybe you've driven yourself away from God, or you've kind of slipped away and you want to reconnect with God. And so right here we say that if you're wanting to commit or recommit your life to God, maybe you've been unchurched for a while and you want to run back to God. That'd be a good thing to do, because you'll find the same thing that my wife and I did, that when you find yourself in worship and you find yourself reading more and you find yourself in relationship, you find hope even through others. It's amazing. You can just check that box. There's a second option. You might be intrigued by this hope. You're not ready to make a commitment, but you're intrigued. I promise you, we're not going to hassle you. We're not going to corner you. We are going to call you maybe and just say, hey, you got some questions? How can we help you? Or we'll ask you to go to the starting point, which is found right here in your brochure, a class that will try to answer many questions. I'm just going to invite you to close your eyes and bow your head for a second. That way, nobody's looking around. This is your decision. It's not your spouse's decision. It's not your parents' decision. This is your decision. And just quietly, you can check that box if you want to make that decision today, that you want to find hope, or you want to recommit your life because maybe your marriage or relationship or your career, something's going sideways, and you want to find hope. You might want to pray a prayer silently to go something like this. Dear Jesus, thank you that you died for me. Thank you that sin has been paid for, wrong has been paid for in my life. I invite you into my life. I want to find hope today. Help me as I live for you the rest of my life. If you've made that decision with your heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just check that and give us a name, maybe a phone number? We just want to connect with you. If you're intrigued, just check that box. God, I thank you that we can celebrate 3 days. It's no wonder that there was a Friday and a Saturday and a Sunday. Your story is our story. We have Fridays. We have Saturdays. And we want to experience a Sunday. And so we thank you for this opportunity to worship. I pray your blessing in every person that's here, no matter where they're at in the journey of their life, that they would find hope. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.